Welcome to Hardwood Handicappers with Zach Cohen, right here on VSiN, the sports betting network.
This is Zachary Cohen, VSiN.com senior editor with a Wednesday episode of Hardwood Handicappers. Today is June 10th. It is 9:30 a.m. Eastern, and we have some basketball tonight. We have game four of this Knicks-Spurs series taking place at Madison Square Garden, where, you know, game three, the atmosphere was just electric, and I can't wait to see what it looks like in this one. I do think it's going to be very different. I think that a lot of people viewed this series as like it was over heading into game three. I feel like everyone was just waiting for the Knicks to win that game, go up 3-0, and really kind of put the series away. But all of a sudden, the Spurs, after, you know, a 115-111 win, have a chance to tie this series up, which would be crazy with both teams winning both games on the road floor. But the Knicks have a chance to prevent that tonight, and they are favored to do so. So let's talk a little bit about it. Like I said, the Knicks are 2.5-point favorites in this one. This is a game where the money line is very, very close. Over at DraftKings right now, Knicks -2.5, -102 are the odds for that. It's -118 if you want to take the Spurs side. Total 216.5. So really not much of a change from game three. And I do kind of think that the way these odds have been made in this series and the last two games in particular tell a story of the odds makers hoping for San Antonio to win and expecting San Antonio to win. In game three, it was a little bit more dire and a little bit more lopsided, but we saw heavy, heavy, sharp action on the Spurs. Like, everybody on the planet seemed to want to back this Knicks team that had won 13 straight games, had been playing like the best team in the NBA by far for a pretty significant amount of time. And what happened in that game was the Spurs came out with their best two-way performance of the series. We talked a little bit about it on the Tuesday show, but it was a great, great performance from Victor Wembanyama. Finally outplayed Karl-Anthony Towns significantly. Like, there have been games where it's probably been a little bit close, but Cat has been so good for New York. Last game was the first one where kind of felt like Cat was absent, and it felt like Wemby was the best player on the planet again. And we'll talk a little bit about why these things happened and what can change to kind of even that matchup again. But it was a really strong performance from the Spurs star. Stephon Castle was great. And I thought that all of the Spurs guards, even if they didn't shoot well, did their jobs both offensively and defensively in applying rim pressure, applying ball pressure on the defensive end. That's kind of the big takeaway from that game, is just like the amount of pressure they were able to send to Jalen Brunson and even pick him up full court at times. They were able to tire him out and just eat into the amount of time the Knicks have to run their offense. So those guards all did tremendous. Julian Champagne was also really good. I know that he was kind of the player that had his minutes cut, but I almost wonder if that gave him kind of the clarity he needed to just like, all right, you're going to get 25 minutes. You're just going to gun away and be a floor spacer for us. That's all we need you to do. We're not hoping that you can attack Jalen Brunson. We're not hoping that you can guard Jalen Brunson. It looked like there was a little bit more certainty on his end. And I just kind of think the rotation changes that Mitch Johnson made with everyone really worked out for the better. So we enter this situation again where, like I said, -2.5 for the Knicks. Our DraftKings betting splits over at VSiN.com shows 60% of the bets, 74% of the handle on New York. That's another game that's really, really lopsided. And at circa, it's 60% of the bets, 90% of the handle on the Knicks. The difference between this game and last game is there was reverse line movement with the Spurs. So while everyone was betting, you know, New York, they went from -2.5 to -1.5. And that was pretty significant, like RLM. And I do think that that's something that is completely absent here. You're actually seeing, if anything, at times, this game was -1.5 at both Circa and DraftKings. Now it's -2.5 or -2. So the odds makers are actually moving the line with the action, which means probably a little bit more sharp money on the Knicks than there was last game. And that's not surprising. Like, this is technically a zigzag spot where favorite in game A comes back and wins game B, or maybe favorite game one. It's game three and four, but the favorite in that game lost outright at home. The zigzag theory would suggest that they're going to come out and win game four at home. The reason I don't like that situation here is that the favorite was up 2-0 in the series. There is still more desperation on the San Antonio side. I know the Knicks will probably ramp it up in terms of desperation themselves. Going back to San Antonio 2-2 feels like a non-option as well. So I could see why you'd believe it's more even, but I do not think the zigzag theory applies here. And while the reverse line movement is not there with this game, I still think that the overwhelming amount of bets on the Knicks makes San Antonio a sportsbook need. And I've seen that echoed on Twitter, you know, seeing some sportsbook operators talk to kind of betting personalities to let them know what the house needs. And you've seen a few where they're like, yeah, we're going to need the Spurs in game four. Everyone's on the Knicks. So I always feel good about taking the team that the house needs. And that is why my game four picks are what they are. I have San Antonio on an alternate spread of +7.5, which is what I did in game three. In that game, I paired it with De'Aaron Fox to add 12 plus points. Almost went to the same thing again here, but I like the price a little bit better for San Antonio +7.5 with Stephon Castle to have 4 plus rebounds. And the Castle part of it is, his real rebound total is 4.5, and the over looks like the right play to me. But giving myself a little bit of extra wiggle room with the over 3.5, because this really isn't a play on Castle. It's just, you know, something I'm using to get a better play, sorry, better number on the Spurs play of +7.5. But Castle has had at least 4 rebounds in 6 straight games. He has also hit that mark of 4 rebounds in 15 of the last 16 games. Like, he is just such a good rebounder at the guard position. And in a game that San Antonio must have, don't really see like their feistiest competitor just disappearing on the glass. I feel like every single player on the Spurs knows how important it is that they crash the glass, because those Knicks players, they're going to be doing so ferociously. Like, whether it's Cat, Mitchell Robinson, Josh Hart, those guys are relentless on the offensive board. So it's up to everybody on this Spurs team to kind of be there to help Victor Wembanyama secure some rebounds. Like, he can't do it himself. I know he's an absolute mountain of a man, but that's really because of his size and just sheer length and his height at like 7'4". You hear people call him 7'7" all the time. I call him 7'4". I don't know that I actually believe he's 7'7". So that's why you hear me say 7'4". But yeah, he's a good rebounder. Make no mistake about it. But he's the only big on the floor for San Antonio most of the time. And against this Knicks team, that puts a lot on him. So the guards are doing what they need to do to help. And I think Castle will continue to do so tonight. So four plus rebounds for him. And then the 7.5 with the Spurs. I like the Spurs to win this game. I kind of think they're going to do it. We're just not getting the same price that we got in game three. And not that it's a huge difference, but I am pretty stingy about getting the price I want. And we got +117 in game three. The best I saw for game four was +112. And I really would have liked it at +120 to +125 if I'm going to put anything on it. So for now, just giving myself some extra wiggle room with the +7.5. And the 7.5 we've talked about in the NBA throughout the course of the season on Hardwood Handicappers, it is a key number in the NBA. I don't think key numbers in the NBA are as important as they are in the NFL, where games are often decided by a field goal. But these numbers in the NBA, they try to protect you against games turning from one possession games to three possession games. And, you know, making sure you don't lose a bet when it's a very close game all game, and then the free throw game at the end happens, and, you know, the Spurs are out there fouling Jalen Brunson, and for whatever reason, they fall behind. So took 7.5. I think that that's the safest way to play this. This is -115 to pair these two together, and it's to win 1.5 units. And just some more reasons why I like the Spurs in general. I do think they've done a really good job defensively on Jalen Brunson. I think it started in games 1 and 2 where they were kind of doubling him and throwing some extra pressure at him in terms of extra bodies and making him give the ball up and make other players beat San Antonio. We saw that happen in both games. Like, it wasn't a great offensive performance from New York in either games one or game two, but like playing 4-on-3 was a big enough advantage for the Knicks that I think Mitch Johnson decided, let's not do it exactly the same way. What they did do is they used all four of their guards that they played a lot more together, which is something I called for. So Castle, Harper, Fox, Vassell, those guys all played way more minutes together. Like I said, Champagne was down to 26 minutes, so less for him than we've seen in this series so far. I've been wanting to see these four guards together because of what I think it does for them offensively. And I do think it makes them much harder to guard offensively. But defensively, it allowed them to just always have somebody picking up Brunson, either at full court or half court, and throwing their chest into him. And doing that tires him out. It also, like I said before, cuts into the amount of time that the Knicks have to run their offense. And what that did was made things hard on Brunson, but it also made it really hard on New York to get Karl Anthony Towns involved. So in this game, you saw the least amount of passes that you've seen from the Knicks in like weeks, but definitely the series. The ball was just not moving around as much. Karl Anthony Towns with his fewest amount of touches that we've seen in this series so far. And overall, just the ball sticking to Jalen Brunson. And that's exactly what I think the Spurs wanted. I think we're going to see them try the same thing again. I think the Knicks are going to turn to Josh Hart as a secondary ball handler or just to somebody that can get the ball up the court and take some pressure off Brunson and keep him a little bit fresher. That would be the adjustment I'd expect to see from New York. If I'm San Antonio, though, I'm just pressuring Hart too. Like, I don't think that anybody on the Knicks, like, yeah, Bridges included, and I think Bridges is a player that in his career, at least at the time with the Nets he played, I do think that he's somebody that has been able to get the ball up the floor and kind of run some offense, but I don't think you're comfortable with those guys handling the rock against these kind of feisty, big, and strong perimeter defenders that the Spurs have. So I feel like if I'm San Antonio, I'm countering by just doing what you're doing to Brunson to everybody else. And I feel like that's still going to give the Knicks the same problem of kind of cutting into the shot clock. So I feel like that is where we're going to see this go. I also think that, like, at some point, Brunson's just going to make some of the shots we're used to seeing him make. So don't expect him to shoot terribly the rest of the series. But I know that the Knicks want to be better about moving the ball and playing through Karl Anthony Towns. So I think we're going to see a little bit more about that. And I think Mike Brown even said it after the game that it's crucial to them that they get the ball to Cat and run the offense through him. I mean, that sparked that whole 13-game winning streak. And it's what made Cat the overwhelming finals MVP favorite, in my opinion, in games one and two. But I think we're going to see all of it. I just think the Spurs can handle it. I think with San Antonio, the only thing you really need to worry about is whether or not their shots are going in. And they did shoot, you know, in the mid-30s in three-point percentage in game three. For the first time in this series, they shot as well as they shot during the regular season in the finals. And that really feels like it's going to be the swing factor in determining what happens in these games. Will the Spurs knock down open threes or not? I don't know. Although I will say the only other bet I have on this game is Devin Vassell over 2.5 made threes at plus 120. Only putting a half unit on that. Don't want to get carried away with it. I want my, you know, focus and my biggest play to be on the Spurs and that Castle rebounds just to help the Spurs number. But Vassell has made three threes in back-to-back games. His defense has been really strong over the last, you know, three games. Really, this entire playoffs, though. Like, this is a player that it's really interesting because he was drafted out of Florida State and was supposed to be a really good defensive player, possibly a really good three-point shooter, like viewed as kind of like a Mikal Bridges on the Knicks. The defense lagged there for a couple of years in San Antonio. It did not live up to what was expected, but now in the postseason, I think you're seeing him play some really strong defense. I think this year in general, he's played some good defense, but yeah, I think that the defense he's played in these finals has kind of fully earned the trust of Mitch Johnson. And now you're looking at back-to-back games in the series where he's played 38 minutes per game. I think he's going to be out there in the high 30s in minutes tonight. If he's out there like that, he's just too good of a shooter not to take this. Because, look, he's a sniper when he's wide open. And he's not the greatest off-ball mover in the world, but the Knicks were let him kind of get free more often than they should just because of where he is in the pecking order. Like, it's stop Wemby. I think it's stop Harper. And then I would say it's stop Fox in terms of the order of operations for the Knicks defense and what they're kind of learning on the scouting report. But Vassell is definitely an afterthought, and that helps him because he can knock down open threes. So plus 120, I thought it was a generous number. Didn't want to get carried away with it, but a half unit on that. So two plays for me in this game. Kind of went into why I liked Spurs. Spurs alternate plus 7.5 and Steph Castle alternate 4+ rebounds, minus 115. Then Vassell over 2.5 made threes. But I do have something else that I want to talk about. I tweeted about it yesterday. At Betting on X is my Twitter. Talked about the finals MVP yesterday with Kelly Bidlin. Made a bet after the show that I put on the Pro Picks page, but I think it shows up a few hours late when I put them on there. So I tweeted it right away because I wanted to make sure that the number was out there and that you were able to get it when I took it. So let's talk about that after I quickly say the NBA finals are here and the edges are smaller than ever. VSiN Pro gives you the advanced analytics, player prop projections, and expert insights that serious bettors rely on when every game matters most. Try it for only $9.99 for your first month and see what sharps are using to beat the books. Head to vsin.com/subscribe and check out all of your subscription options. All right, finals MVP. Like I said, I talked about it a little bit with Kelly yesterday. I mentioned on that show, and I'll just go into it again here, that Jalen Brunson's still the favorite on the Knicks side. Karl Anthony Towns, who was number two, has fallen behind Victor Wembanyama. That's just because of the series score now. Like, it was 2-0 heading into game three. It looked like it was going to be Knicks. And if it was going to be the Knicks, you're going to have those players at the top of the board. It makes sense. Now that this is a series again, you're seeing Wemby at number two, because if the Spurs win the series, it's going to be Victor Wembanyama that wins the MVP award. But the Spurs aren't a guarantee to win the series. There's still a game at Madison Square Garden tonight. There's still a really good chance that I'm wrong about the Spurs and the Knicks end up being up 3-1 after tonight. And if that ends up being the case, you might as well have a really good price on Karl Anthony Towns, because I've talked about this, but Towns has been their best player. And the fact that he disappeared a little bit in game three shouldn't be held against him. Like I said, the touches were down, like, statistically. And it's not like Jalen Brunson went out there and played very well and really made things closer between him and Karl Anthony Towns. So Cat moved yesterday at one point to plus 669 at Polymarket, so 13%. That was when I jumped on it and went right over and tweeted it. So 13% was what they had at Polymarket, which I guess I'll just throw out because we have an offer with them right now. If you download the Polymarket app and use code BUZZ, B-U-Z-Z, with VSiN, you will get a $50 free, you know, trade on your first trade. So really good time to kind of take advantage of that if you want to jump on this and add it with me. But it is down to 15% now, or up to 15%. The odds have moved from the equivalent of plus 669 to plus 567. I still really like that number. I was considering this at plus 400, which is where I saw it at pretty much every sports book yesterday. And I was like, oh, why don't I go check out the prediction markets? As I've said on this show, like, I don't use those as much, but I thought that there was a chance they'd have a better number, and they had a way better number. Like I said, it was 13% plus 669. Now it is 15% plus 567. I love this at anything plus 500 or better. So this is still a really good time. I would definitely take advantage of that promo code BUZZ, B-U-Z-Z. But yeah, I think that Towns is still the guy if you're New York. And if anything, if it's not Towns, I think the guy that's starting to make a case is OG Anunoby. I don't think it's Jalen Brunson. Like, Brunson played his third straight inefficient game offensively in game three. Like I said, I think he's going to come busting out of this slump at some point. But every single stat you look at says that the Knicks have been playing better without Brunson. And I don't know that I completely buy into that, but their on-off numbers suggest that they've been better without Brunson. the top five lineups in this series in terms of net rating are all Brunson-less lineups. So that includes both the Spurs and the Knicks, but there aren't any lineups in the top five in net rating and five-man combinations that include Brunson. And then just overall, like if you use like net rating for players only, which I don't really like to do, but Brunson's a minus five net rating in this series. Cat's a plus 12. I just like, I don't want to beat a dead horse with this, but I just feel like Cat has been the best player on the Knicks through three games. Game three wasn't as good as games one or two, but it was not nearly as bad for him as it was for Brunson. So I don't see why he slipped so much. I think that he's still been the best player. And I think if the Knicks are going to win this series, it's going to go back to Cat being a super important two-way player, because the work he's doing as a passer out of the high post has been excellent. The defense he's playing on Victor Wembanyama has been excellent. And him knocking down his threes and him attacking the rim, all of that stuff is working to perfection in this series. And I just feel like they're going to get the ball to him more a little bit in games 4-7 and really kind of make this a non-topic. But I feel like Brunson has harmed himself a lot in games 1-3 to the point that, like, I just don't think that one shaky game from Cat should have had him plummet in this market the way that he did. So Cat was a player that I kind of went on shows before this series started and people asked me what I think, who I thought was the best MVP bet. And I said, probably Cat at like 22-1, just because I wouldn't really like the odds on Brunson or Wemby. I don't like taking a betting favorite that's almost even money odds or even odds on to win MVP. But I liked Cat as a long shot because I thought there was a really good chance that he could play some of his best basketball in the series. This is a guy that's been all NBA before. He's a multi-time all-star, one of the best players, one of the best bigs in the league. And look, he's proved all of that in this series. So I feel like we have not heard the last of Cat being the best player for the Knicks in this series. And like I said, I don't even think Brunson is number two for New York right now. I think it's OG Anunoby who, look, if he's not knocking down a three in this series, it feels like he does not miss. If he misses, it's because he gets fouled and he goes to the free throw line to make three free throws. His shooting has been spectacular. His defense is always spectacular. I'm also really impressed with the way he's driving. He seems to love getting Wemby on his hip and dunking. Like, everybody else in the league is afraid of having Wemby come back and give him a chase down block. OG is not bothered by that at all, it seems. So he's been really, really good. Like I said, better than Brunson, in my opinion. And this can all change. Like, there's still so much series left, probably. But as of right now, I don't see Brunson in the top three MVP candidates. I think it's, if you're ranking all of them, Knicks and Spurs, I think it's Cat, then Wemby, then OG. So I don't think the odds accurately reflect what we're seeing in this series. And I think that with Poly Market's price yesterday, I was able to actually get in on that. And I still think that there's time for you to do the same. So definitely take advantage of that offer if you have not signed up yet. If you have, just jump on it. I don't know. You don't need the free 50. But yeah, I figured I'd throw it out there because saw it in our emails that we do have that offer to give out to you guys. So promo code BUZZ, B-U-Z-Z. But that is all I have for you for today. I do quickly want to say attention to any listeners who are new to VSIN. Signing up for our free daily newsletter is a great way to catch up. Delivered straight to your inbox every morning, VSIN's newsletter offers picks, data, and strategies for the day's betting menu. Sign up for free now at vsin.com/newsletter and start receiving your free newsletter tomorrow morning. That's vsin.com/newsletter. Stay ahead of the game and bet smarter with VSIN. All right, just to quickly recap the best bets I've given out today for game four. Spurs alternate parlayed with Stephon Castle alternate rebounds 4+, so over 3.5 rebounds. That's minus 115, playing that to win 1.5 units. Also took Devin Vassell over 2.5 made threes at plus 120, risking 0.5 units. And I'll say this, if I can get a price that I really like on the Spurs before tip-off, I'm not opposed or against the idea of adding another half unit on the Spurs to win on the money line. I feel like I really do feel pretty strongly that this is the sharper side once again, and kind of think that game three showed some really strong tactical edges that we've seen from the Spurs now, and interested in seeing how the Knicks counter it. I gave my idea on how I think they're going to, but I do think this is going to be another really interesting game in the Garden, and a lot of nervous energy in that arena now. So if I can get close to plus 120, plus 125, would like to have San Antonio, at least a small piece of it. But for now, it's those two plays. And then, like I said, I added Cat to win MVP at plus 669 yesterday. Wrist one unit, so to win 6.69 units. That's the way that I went about it. But I really hope you enjoyed today's episode. If you are tailing me, best of luck in game four. We will be back with an episode for tomorrow, Thursday. And we will also do something on Friday where we're going to do some NBA finals for sure, because that'll be the last time I'm talking to you before game five, which as of right now, you never know, could be the end of the series. But I do want to talk about the NBA draft on Friday. We'll probably do a good chunk of time on that, because not sure if there's bets to be made right now, but I do think that we're starting to get like our first valuable pieces of intel from some of the, you know, more prominent NBA draft analysts out there. And it's interesting this year because we don't have Jonathan Givony from ESPN. That has kind of been somebody that has been really reliable in giving out actionable information for us bettors. I know that it's not his intent to give that out for bettors, but like if you actually read all of his work throughout the year, you're getting really good nuggets that can help you make winning bets. We no longer have that. Givony is not as front-facing as he used to be. He's back with his own company, Draft Express. And really, from what I've seen, the only content you get from him is on Twitter and Instagram. If I'm wrong about that, definitely let me know, because I'd be dying to know where he's writing up his work. But he used to be writing a ton for ESPN, giving out all of his kind of nuggets from teams and front offices, all that. And occasionally you'd get some stuff that would made it really easy to win some draft night bets. Without that, it's going to be a little bit harder. But I did see a mock from Sam Vesney over at The Athletic. I think it's Vesney over at The Athletic, who does really, really good work on the draft. And he was including some of his kind of conversations and notes from speaking to people around these teams, and wonder if maybe we can kind of focus on his work instead of Givony's this draft season. So I'm going to do that over the next couple of days, really try to pick out the actionable stuff that he puts out there. And I'll relay all of that to you guys on Friday. I'm looking forward to it. So like I said, if you enjoyed today's episode and you're tailing the picks, best of luck. If you like the show, though, I would like to say that we really appreciate you guys giving us some positive feedback, whether that is a like, a comment, a subscription. We would really appreciate that. Subscribing to our YouTube channel, though, Hardwood Handicappers, all one word. That takes like less than a second and really, really helps us out as we're trying to grow that channel. So definitely do that if you can. But enjoy the night. Enjoy the hoops. We'll be back with more on Thursday.